Am I on? Oh, yeah. Our Bible reading today comes from Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 23. And I'm going to read it from this version. Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Jesus Christ is always the head of the church, which is his body. God, in all his fullness, was pleased to live in Jesus, and through him God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. Once you were far away from God, but now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Jesus Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without fault. But you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. This is the word of God. Amen.
So while we wait for the batteries, can we have the yellow mic maybe? Maybe? Okay. Oh, good. Okay. So for those of you who don't know me, my name is Chris, and I'm a pastor here at this church, and it's lovely to have you all here with us this morning. You are very welcome, particularly if you're a visitor. And I hope that you will join us for morning tea next door once we're finished. For those of you who are regular parts of our church family here, if you weren't here last week, we talked about the fact that together we are the body of Christ. And we talked about, we likened it to a jigsaw puzzle. We are all pieces of the puzzle, and all of those pieces are needed if we're going to have a complete puzzle and be able to see the whole picture. So as a church, thanks David. So as a church, one of the things that we did at the end of the service was we all got a piece of a jigsaw puzzle, like so, and we put it in one of the puzzles. So if you weren't here last week and you didn't put a piece of the puzzle in, and there's a few of you that I can see, at the end of the service, can I encourage you to come up the front, grab a piece of puzzle. On the back of it, it'll have a number, 1, 2, 3, or 4, and that'll tell you which puzzle to put your piece in. Because we actually need everybody to put their piece in, because then we have the complete picture. So if you haven't done that, would be fabulous if you could do that for us next week, after the service. So, okay. So, let's get started. So, when I came to this church, I had only been part of a Baptist church for 1 year, and that was at Parramatta Baptist Church. You know, it's good. That was Parramatta Baptist Church. Before that, I'd been part of Presbyterian Church, Brethren Church, I'd attended Pentecostal Church, I'd attended an Anglican Church, but I'd only been a member of Brethren and Presbyterian and a Baptist church for 1 year. Now, while all of those churches had a lot of things in common, there was also a lot of differences. There was differences in how we govern or how we lead our churches. There was differences in who actually makes the decisions in those churches. Differences about how we met and what we did on a Sunday, how we practiced communion, how we practiced baptism, on who could be a member, who could have a say. As I've been thinking about the 100-plus visitors that came in through our doors last year, the 32 who decided to stay, the 12 who came to faith, I've realised that we actually have a challenge here. With so many people new to faith or new to part of being part of a Baptist church, it became important for us to know what it is that we're part of, to know who we are, to know what it means to be choosing to be part of this church, part of a Baptist church, where we fit into that family of churches. I'm constantly faced with questions about what it means to be Baptist, what makes us different to the other churches. So this is an opportunity for us to be able to answer those questions and to all have a foundation, a bit of a grounding in what that looks like. So to help us all have an understanding, and whether you've been part of a Baptist church forever, there is still something for you to learn from this or to pass on to someone else. So we can have an understanding of who we are and what's important to us as Baptists, we're going to use some material that was put out by the Baptist Association that'll have us looking at four key values held by the Baptist Church. That's that we're Jesus-centred, that we live in community, that we practice mission, and we promote freedom. Four key values. And you know what, if you visit any of the 350-plus Baptist churches here in New South Wales or the ACT, you will likely find that those churches will do things differently when they meet on a Sunday, but they will all uphold these four values, as will many other churches in other denominations. But Baptist churches will uphold these core values. So today we're going to start with the first one. Jesus-centred. We're going to talk about what it means to be Jesus-centred because at the end of the day, Jesus is at the heart of who we are. Whether that's as Christians or as Baptists, Jesus is absolutely at the centre of that. Last week we talked about being the church being the body of Christ and Jesus being the head. And like the human physical body, we can't live without our head, which reminds us that we can't live without Jesus. We need to have him at the front and centre of our life. There's a short video that's been put together to help us have a bit of an understanding. And then after that, I'm just going to talk very briefly about what it means to be Jesus-centred. And then we're going to do something different. We're actually going to split into smaller groups and look at four questions to help us to be able to have a better understanding of what that looks like. So, if we can have the video.
As Australian Baptist churches, organisations and associations, we have a shared story that has shaped what we value and who we are.
By understanding our core values, we are well positioned to respond and adapt to our ever-changing contexts.
In this series, we explore these values so you can consider how they guide your ministry.
They are informed by our understanding of the gospel, are resonant with our history, and are shared by our National Baptist Movement.
They provide a framework from which we can all step into the future with confidence in who we are and in the one we follow.
We start not with ourselves, but with God. We believe in the God who reveals himself through Father, Spirit, and Son. Baptists have always emphasized Jesus as the one that we are called to follow, the one who reveals God to us, and the one through whom God is reconciling all things. Jesus is the head of the church, and we are his body, and he is therefore the center of who we are and all that we do. Jesus is our ultimate authority, and we always seek to be led by him.
This taken authority comes from the very beginning of our story in history. We were part of the Protestant Reformation in the 16th century, and then those who were later called dissenters in England. Because while other groups appealed to popes and kings to set the agenda, formulate creeds and write traditions, the early Baptists were different. They focused on the fact that Jesus reveals himself to all people at all times, in all settings. They believe that everyone can be open to hearing him speak. This idea has been carried through to today, as we too are invited here and now to listen and respond to Jesus. This means that our churches and organizations don't all look, feel, and operate in the same way. Our common core values frame all that we do, but in practice, there'll be some diversity, flexibility, and even sometimes some messiness. But our shared goal is always to listen to Jesus and to follow his lead.
We believe that every follower of Jesus has been gifted with the Holy Spirit, enabling us all to hear the Spirit's voice. When we gather as churches and organisations, we seek to discern the Spirit's leading together. We do this by taking time to grow in our own faith and in our relationships so we can listen well to one another, trusting that the Spirit is at work among us.
This also means listening intently to the scriptures. We believe they are inspired by God, and through them, he continues to reveal himself to us today. We trust the Bible as a source and authority of our faith and practice. We seek to be formed and reformed by entering into and living out of the biblical story. We listen to the Spirit speaking to us today as we engage the Bible, and together we interpret it as a community. We want to spend time hearing its words, reading them, reflecting on them, speaking them and sharing them as a community. As we do this, God's words transforms us.
So, we are led by the Holy Spirit, formed and reformed by the scriptures, and we are centered on Jesus. This is the foundation we return to again and again, giving us confidence and hope. This is at the heart of our values.
We stand on the shoulders of those who have come before us in our faith communities.
We honour the legacy they have left us and the guiding values and frameworks from the scriptures that have been entrusted to us.
And we are grateful for the freedom we have been given within this to respond to the new challenges we face as we live out what it means to follow Jesus and lead his people where we find ourselves right now.
Working? Yes. Okay. Okay, so just a brief summary before we go into our groups. What does it mean to be Jesus-centered? It means living your life with Jesus at the center of who you are and what you do. It means Jesus isn't something that you add on, or Jesus isn't something that you have as like a side part of your faith. To be Jesus-centered is to acknowledge that it is only through Jesus that we can know God. It's only through Jesus that we can know God. And that's because it was through Jesus that God chose to reveal himself. In the passage that Morel read out to us, he was writing to a church in Ephesus, trying to help them have an understanding of who they were and of how they should be living, pretty much like us. And Paul wrote these words, which I'll read out again. Jesus Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation, for through him and for him, God created everything. And Jesus Christ is the head of the church, which is his body, for God was pleased to live in him and through him to reconcile everything to himself, making peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood shed on the cross. Once you were far away from God, but now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him. Being Jesus-centered means that you enjoy the relationship with God that you were always created to have. If you're centered on something, it means you're focused on it. It means you give it your full attention. It means it becomes the focal point, the focus of what everything else revolves around. That's what it is to be centered. So if you are Jesus-centered, well, that means that the way you live your everyday life is going to be with Jesus in mind. Three things that the video pointed out that help us to be Jesus-centered. The first one is to follow Jesus' lead. Jesus showed us how to live a Jesus-centered life. It's pretty simple. He gave us the example to follow when he lived on earth as a human being. He showed us what it looks like. Read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read the accounts of these men who were either there or had first-hand accounts from others of what everyday life with Jesus looked like. You'll see that there was a priority of honouring God and other people, making time for prayer and learning from the scriptures, teaching and discipling people along the way. You'll see that Jesus always put relationships ahead of rules. He always tried to show people what the kingdom of God looked like through his everyday words and actions. If you want to know what it is to be Jesus-centered, then look at the life of Jesus. But secondly, follow his spirit. Because when Jesus went away, he left a part of himself here. He left his spirit so that the Spirit of God could continue to reveal Jesus to us. But not just to us, to all people in all places at all times. The Holy Spirit keeps Jesus at the center. It's the Spirit who enables you and I to hear the voice of Jesus, to be able to discern the direction that he's wanting us to take. It's the Spirit who helps us to make God and other person-honoring decisions. When we listen to the Spirit and follow his lead, we live a Jesus-centered life. We do it as individuals, but we also do it as the church, collectively listening and then sharing what Jesus is saying and following his lead together. The third thing is following his words, because the Bible helps us to keep Jesus at the center. You know, the words we read in the Bible were inspired by the Spirit, and they were given to human beings to write down so that we would have a guide, so that we could have something that was written to help us to be able to know how to live as the people of God in ways that are relevant to whatever time or place we live in. If you think about it, the way that we practice our Christian faith here in West Ryde today is going to look very different to what it might be in a church in Iran, or to a church that lived 500 years ago. It'll look different even to a church that's here in Australia, but in an all-white community. We live in a changing world. And so that means we need to be grounded in the words and ways of Jesus that we read in the New Testament. But at the same time, we need to be adaptable. We need to be open to the Spirit leading us in the way He wants us to go that's relevant for where we are. Being Jesus-centered means following in the ways of Jesus, the ways of His Spirit, and what we read in the written word. Rather than me standing up here and giving you information, today and in the coming weeks, we're going to do something a bit different. We're going to break up into smaller groups, and we're going to actually have opportunity to talk about these things together. And we're going to base that conversation around four questions today. What does it mean for us to live a Jesus-centered life? How might we become more focused on Jesus? How can our church better listen, discern, and respond to Jesus? And how does being Jesus-centered shape our church's attitudes, practices, and decisions? As Baptists, we hold very strongly to the priesthood of all believers. So it's important that everybody has a voice and an opportunity to be able to share the things that the Spirit of God is saying to you. Our kids are going to go out, and Kelly's going to have something that is looking at what it is to be Jesus-centered, but that is age-appropriate for our primary school-aged kids. Jenny is going to lead a group that's for our youth, our high school-aged kids, so that they can also be able to explore this, but at a level and in a way that's appropriate for them. And then we've got some other groups. So I'm going to ask people who have agreed to be a leader of a group, a facilitator, if they can just stand up. Six groups. Okay, so I'm going to ask each of these group leaders to just move to a space in the room, and then I'm going to pray and ask you to just go and form a group around that person. Five or six people. Don't join together according to language or custom or friends. Go to different groups. It's an opportunity to also get to know some other people as well, okay? So I'm just going to pray, and then we'll move to our groups. Lord Jesus, we are so grateful that through you we have opportunity to know God. It's really so much bigger and beyond what we can really comprehend, and yet we know it to be true because we live it. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your Spirit who you left here to guide us, to show us how to be relevant, how to continue your mission so that we can help others to see and to know you for themselves. We ask this morning that you enable us to be able to talk about these things so that they can help us to do that better. For those of us who are shy, Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit might open our mouths and allow us to contribute. For those who might not have a strong grip of the English language, we pray that that won't be a barrier either, but that you will give understanding and discernment and the ability to communicate in ways beyond learning. Fill us, Lord, with your grace, with your patience, with humility, and allow us this morning to learn more about what it means to live a Jesus-centered life for the sake of your kingdom. We pray this in your name. Amen. So, Kelly, if you want to take... Jenny, where are you? So if you're a school student, if you want to go with Jenny, so here, if you guys want to go with Jenny...
سلام دوستان، ببخشید من یه بار دیگه هم کریس گفتن که به فارسی بگم. این شش نفر دوستانی که لیدر شدن بقیه همه گروه بندی میشیم ماکسیموم 6 نفر 8 نفر کنار هر لیدر میشینیم در مورد این 4 تا سوال گفتگو میکنیم و صحبت میکنیم مرسی
if you want to just finish off what you're on, that'll finish our discussion time this morning. Mary's just going to come up and the music team and just lead us in a final song and then encourage you to come across for morning tea. So you can just leave your chairs where they are for now and stand up there to sing, or you can move them back. It's up to you.
This is just a beautiful time example of how we practice, we put our Jesus-centered church into practice. So this is just a fun time how we share with each other, have a discussions and stuff. So thank you so much for speaking your mind and sharing thoughts, ideas. Thank you, Pastor Chris. All right, so even with our group, I have to type everything because I think Pastor Chris will not understand my writing. So it's such a good time that we can share our ideas with each other. So let's just all stand and sing. What a beautiful name it is, the Lord that we serve. And of course, we have morning tea together at the hall. And if you want to have something that you want to pray for and thank God for, and the offering as well, there's a green box at the back. God bless everyone. Let's worship the Lord. What a beautiful name. You are the Word at the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High. Your healing glory in creation, now revealed in you, a Christ. What a beautiful name it is, what a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. Our sea was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, our King. What a wonderful name.